Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And you know, in crazy times and crazy markets, I can think of nobody crazier to call than my good friend, Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group. Taylor, what's going on?
Well, it's starting to get a little interesting out there.
It is getting interesting now. You know, of course, we've seen, you know, the markets have been really silly to the upside. And again, I don't say that the market shouldn't go up, but just the way we've gone up and the reasons we've gone up, and it's just been kind of weird and strange. I mean, it's kind of silly when you start depending on whether or not Janet Yellen brushes her teeth or not in the morning as to whether or not the market's going to go up or not. And I think that's been kind of the way we've been playing it. But, you know, you being strictly a technical person, what are some of the things you're seeing out there, and what are you looking for?
You know what? It's certainly since the lows of, what, like October 5th, around that time, on the lows, market has had a historic rally, especially even after the down month and after, you know, October in general, based on seasonality. And I think most people are anticipating that into year end, we're going to see a slow drift higher, and you know, the volatility will pick up in Q1. What concerns me is that everyone's sort of hanging their hat on the fact that the Fed thinks they're going to lower rates. The pricing in the bond market shows there's, you know, over 75% chance of that happening currently. So I think you will see more volatility than traditionally you would see over this time frame. I think it'll make for a great opportunity if you're right way, long or short, depending on the day. But I think it's a very, very, very unique market, because I think seasonality coupled with the Fed and what's going on with China, it could make for a very interesting few weeks here into year end.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're looking at the market now, of course, you know, markets aren't made in a day, or and trends aren't made in a day. And we saw that Monday was, you know, some fairly heavy selling, but it really wasn't a panic sell. It was kind of like an orchestrated sell off. And it's more like, you know, there was profit taking. Now, in your eyes, does this look to continue, or do we look for a market to, you know, continue its most recent pattern, which is, I mean, we've been up for 6 weeks in a row. But is this the possible start of something? I mean, you and I both know that even if this is the start of something, the markets don't go straight down, just like they don't go straight up. I mean, the initial
except
move
for August.
Well, but in August we had the blow up, but they'd already started to go down. I mean, that was a pretty easy call. Now, again, the depth at how deep it sold off was not easy, but the market was going to sell was a fairly easy call. And what they did is they took what normally would take them weeks, they did it in 2 days. But overall, you and I both know that, you know, if the trend is going to start to trend lower, which is more the key if we're going to go down. How do you kind of lay it out? What are you looking for?
You know, that's a great question. I think we run proprietary models that show risk off signals, and we're at a very unique place where it's a very bullish environment, but we're starting to develop risk off signals that say, hey, listen, this is an unsustainable move. And so I like the increased volatility that I think we're going to get into the next few weeks. What I'm looking for is for the VIX to have a sustained move in one direction or the other. We've sort of been floating right here around 14. And if we continue to sort of oscillate in that normal range, you're not going to see anything but a slow drift up in the market. So I either, you know, we need the VIX to move to get the volatility that I prefer. But in general, I think, you know, the short interest is extremely high, which is kind of strange on the back of 11% move in the S&P. So I think you're going to see some consolidation in the market as a result of that. And I think you can see some more volatility in the sense that, like, today, you know, we'll probably close it down more than 1%, and I think you'll see more volatility, meaning tomorrow up 1%, and just some dicey trading into the summer Fed. I don't think you'll see greater than a 5% move either way until we get closer to the December move meeting.
And now, do you believe that the Fed is actually going to raise rates? Is that your opinion?
I personally am not an expert on that, but I don't believe that they are going to raise rates. I don't think it's actually in their best interest or in the interest of the U.S. market or economy. But some people that I've spoken to that are, you know, pretty well educated in that range believe that they will, out of no other purpose than to sort of gain credibility, because they've been touting it down the, you know, for a while now, and it's really hard to believe that they will, because so many countries across the world are fighting for, you know, lower rates and stimulating economies and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of counterintuitive, but I don't know how they can't do it either. But my personal opinion is that they won't.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, I don't think that they will either, and I don't think that they have any idea. And I personally believe that they have no credibility to begin with, so they're not going to gain any credibility by raising rates here. And right. I think that, you know, based on what you're seeing in the action in the dollar and some of the other things around the world and the currency wars, really what you've got is you've got a mess that's been created, and they're kind of, I think, happy with the mess they're seeing right now, because they don't know what to do and where to go next. This can only help them going forward, and does not, you know, this kind of nonsense that's going on will keep them from having to raise. Now, I think if they get one more good jobs number, and again, last Friday's jobs number, I don't think it was anything great shakes. I mean, you know, they're talking about it like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. And I think they need one more to actually really consider it. But basically, and what nobody talks about is, by de facto, because everybody else is lowering and reducing their currency, our rates are already the highest in the world.
Right, right. So how could they? Yeah, I know. I think it's a very, very unique time in history. I think it will create opportunity to trade and use some of the hedges that you guys have been so specialized at giving. I think that will probably work out pretty well. And I think anybody who can anticipate, you know, it's such a dichotomy between, you know, higher markets, lower currencies, lower rates. It's interesting. I agree with you. I don't think they will raise, but I wouldn't mind a little of the volatility that comes in anticipation of it.
Well, we're going to talk about that, because if you've got time and stick around with me for one more segment, I want to talk to you about volatility, but we're coming up to a break here. And, you know, I want you to tell what you're doing as well, because I think you're providing something that's pretty cool as well. We're with Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group, and if you don't remember, she's an ex-floor trader as well, which gives her a lot more cred to what she's doing, because she does understand and get what goes on and what happens in markets. And you got to understand that, because most people don't understand the actual working of true markets and price discovery and things like that. And that's why somebody like Taylor really brings her A game, because she gets it. And it's not just about a model that she created, but it's about understanding how to build that model based on true market logic and not the imaginary thing that a lot of people talk about. So we're going to come back with Taylor, but we're also wanted to mention everybody, and Taylor kind of brought it up, the hedging program that we're offering. Make sure you go to thebubbashow.org and check out the program. Again, I don't want anybody to have to suffer through the trials and tribulations of 2008 again. And by learning a little bit about the market and learning how to adjust and hedge your position, you can actually lock in where you're at. And not only that, but you can have the opportunity to enhance yield on your overall portfolio. So it's something that we encourage you to check it out, and just go to thebubbashow.org. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I am with my friend Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group. Sharp as they come, I'm telling you guys, pay attention. We'll be back after the break, as Taylor's going to lay out what she does and how we work it. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Taylor Blaisdell from the Title Group. This trader extraordinaire, understands markets, worked for the big time firms, the ones that I bash a lot, but she worked for them. But she gets it. She knows the markets. So, Taylor, the first thing before we get into actually what you're doing, because it's really pretty cool, but when you look at volatility, you know, people are afraid of volatility. And I say, no, 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 no. You want to embrace volatility because volatility is the great eraser. It's the great forgiver, because if you're managing risk properly, you're going to lose the same amount when you're wrong. But when you're right, you really clean it up. Isn't that better to be in that position? And isn't volatility better for trading?
You know what? It obviously is not. It's not for the mom and pops who don't understand volatility and who are long-based only strategies. But volatility is good for someone who understands markets and is willing to employ your hedge strategy, which is great. And for someone like me, who's a portfolio manager and a CTA trader, volatility creates opportunity to capitalize on market moves, assuming that you are correct directionally, like a long short, or using hedges like you suggested against a long-only portfolio.
Well, right, and I mean,
it's basically an alpha opportunity.
Right, and but volatility does create, if somebody's more active, I mean, if you're just somebody who buys equity, okay, then volatility is not your friend. But if you're somebody who tries to trade the market, volatility is your best friend. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, you know, as we focus on markets and we look out into the future, you know, one thing that for sure doesn't matter is the model that you have created yourself based on market logic. Tell us about how the model works, what you're doing. And I know we can't talk specific results because, you know, that's just the rules and the laws of the game. But give us a general idea of how it works and what you're doing.
So I'm running a CTA. We're in our third year of our live track record, and we trade S&P mini futures on a systematic, non-discretionary basis. And it's a close-to-close formula, so it's not intraday and it's not high frequency. And we trade long or short based on a couple parameters in the model and capitalize on, like you said, volatility in the market. And, you know, we're having a good year. Successfully trading around the crazy moves we saw in August and September. And, you know, the model, I think, is positioned to take advantage of volatility under certain circumstances. And obviously, you can't do it under all circumstances because that's just unrealistic to assume, you know, you're going to get every market direction correct. But we've had a successful year, and I think if we have sustained volatility into year-end, especially Q1 of next year, you're going to see ample opportunity to trade from the short side.
And you're looking to trade more from the short side, and not because you're looking, that's what the model's suggesting, but typically trading from the short side also brings much more opportunity, does it not?
It really depends where the market is in terms of under, like, sort of model circumstances, and it has tended to be short, you know, more than it's been long recently, but it changes on a daily basis given based on where the futures open and where's the market volatility and the VIX and stuff like that. But the nice advantage of running a long short portfolio is you have an opportunity to capitalize on both moves up and down, as you know.
Right. So, you know, when you're trading and when you're looking at stuff, your model is strictly, basically, we'll call it mathematical. I mean, I know that more goes into it, but it's basically surely by the numbers, and you don't get involved with your opinion. You strictly let the numbers dictate what you're supposed to do. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's 100% systematic and non-discretionary, which means no matter what kind of day I have, I'm still going to follow the model. It's considered gray box, which is a systematic strategy that's executed by me, opposed to a strictly black box strategy would be sort of the model updates and does the trade itself electronically, which can be a little bit, some people say, risky because you always need to have human eyes on the strategy before it makes a trade. But we put the trades in, but they're 100% unemotional and based solely on, so even if you have a bad day and you lose money, the model's still going to position the way it thinks it should be positioned. So it just takes the emotion out of trading.
Right, which is probably, I would say, one of the more important things in life is taking emotion out of the trading model. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. It's really important to to have a success as a trader, you really have to understand the markets and not get emotionally involved in the P&L.
Right, because, you know, it's really, you know, you should really, like, tape up the P&L because, again, if the model's correct and you know what you're doing, then the model is going to produce return. Now, again, it does not produce return every day, but it does produce return over the long haul, which is basically what your model is designed to. Nobody can predict every single day what's going to happen, but over time, the math and the algorithm and what you're using will. Would you say that's a correct statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously markets change and the dynamics change and the way things trade change. But at the end of the day, if you have a proven systematic track record that takes advantage of price movement and you have success over, you know, the time frames that you've tested, that should prove going forward, you know, in absence of some, you know, the market dynamics changing, which could always happen. But the hope is that the return continues to match the simulation and the profitability of the simulation.
Right, and that's what you're looking to do. And you're looking to tie things together and take out all the other crap that gets mixed in with most people, which goes right back to the emotional side of trading. Because if you can eliminate emotion from your trading, I think you're certainly a hell of a lot better off overall than those who get emotional. What do you think?
You know, obviously that's strictly my opinion and yours, but I couldn't agree with you more. I think that emotion, especially in markets like we saw from the middle of August to the middle of September, can be extremely volatile and emotional. And I think when you strip that emotion away and say, like, what are the facts? What has the market done on a close-to-close basis? You know, what is the VIX doing? What is the market showing me? Based on history, what should I be doing?
Right. And I mean, look, there is no guarantee you're 100% on anything. But
right. No, nothing. Not even buying stocks. Well, there has been for 2 years, but I don't think that will last forever.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, but, you know, again, even if you buy stocks, we know what do we know for certain? We know for certain that markets go up, markets go down, and that year over year, the stock market itself does go up. But that does not assure any individual stock of going up, and it doesn't assure that it'll go up before it takes the emotion and forces you out because you emotionally can't take it anymore. And I think when you're trading a model such as you are, that doesn't come into play. You just have to let it trade. You take the good days and the bad days, and at the end of it, we hope that the good days overtake the bad days and make it a winning model. There is no guarantee right. That as well, because, you know, past performance is not indicative of future, you know, whatever that statement is that they say. But at the end of the day, it's certainly a lot easier to trade emotion-free than be involved emotionally, and I think you agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so, Taylor, give me one. We got about a minute or so left here, but give me your read from a trader standpoint. I know your model, but give me your read from a trader standpoint. What do you see the market 6 months from now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we'll be off the highs. I think it's going to be a bumpy road between now and then. The thing that concerns me most unrelated to the market is the correlation on a proprietary basis that we look at and use is extremely high. And that means that if I truly believe the market's going down, that the exit could get messy. Similar to how you saw the market rip up in 13 and part of 14, and in the last 6 weeks, imagine if it went the other way, what that would feel like for the market. And they'll certainly be needing you on Maria in the morning a lot more often.
And that would be true. But so we have been spending part of the day today with our friend Taylor Blaisdell, who really gets it. And again, I urge you to check her out, the Title Group, because she really gets it. And again, when you build something based on what traders are thinking, you have a much better shot and it's a much better model. So I certainly encourage you to check it out. And if there's someone wanting to get to you, Taylor, how would they do so?
You can go to TitleGroupGRP.com. That's TIDALGRP.com. And you can also reach me you know, through reaching out to Todd or through my personal email, which is TAYLOR@TitleGroup.com, GRP.com.
That's our friend Taylor. Thank you so much for being here. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's always a great pleasure and an honor because she's really smart, and I love what she does, and I get it. but more importantly, she gets it. I urge you to check her out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure if you want to catch the show on demand, go to libertytalk.fm. We're going to stop by here for a break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
In other words,
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Yeah, that whistle is 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, yesterday was Veterans Day. And again, once again, I salute my veterans. And thank God you guys are around for us. And every Tuesday I do a Stuart Barney show. And a little interesting stuff went on Tuesday. I'm going to let you check it out. Let's go to Mr. Stuart Barney, the Barney Show. Here we go.
Eastern every weekday. All right, we've got 30 seconds until trading begins this Tuesday morning. They're starting to clap. You'll hear the bell ring, the usual story. And we're going to open 30, 40, maybe 45 points lower. Remember, that follows quite a sell-off yesterday. 200 points to the downside. That took the Dow back to 17,700 at the close yesterday. That was yesterday. Today is about to open. The bell is a ringing. That means 7 seconds to go. And as I said, we should be on the downside to the tune of 40 points when all is said and done. And it's done. Here we go. 9:30 precisely. We're off. We're running. We're down 6 in the very early going. We're down 19. Okay, before we go. We're down 45. Okay, we're down, folks. Ashley Webster is here. So is Liz McDonald. Todd Horowitz and Hillary Kramer join the crew. Hillary, first to you. What happened to 18,000 on the Dow? We're a long way from it.
We could still get there, Stuart, by the end of December. We just needed to take a break, and everyone's digesting the fact that we will have tightening. And what does that really mean? What is the impact? It means that it's more expensive for companies to borrow. But if you look at some of the data, there's still a lot of capital expenditure planned.
You're not
buybacks.
Worried.
I'm not worried.
18,000 by the end of the year.
I am not worried at all.
Even if the Fed raises rates.
No, and we still, not at all. We still have that leadership in what we call those FANG stocks.
Todd Horowitz, come on in, please. 18K by the end of the year. You're not worried if the Fed raises rates.
Good morning, Stuart. I think the Fed will not raise rates. First of all, I think that's a bunch of rhetoric that's being passed around to kind of manipulate where you are. We'll probably hit 18,000. I wouldn't be surprised if we hit the highs. However, we're going much lower. The garbage that we're going to see back and forth here, there's no volume, there's no volatility right now. So the markets could creep higher. They may make a run at the high. Yesterday was really more of a profit-taking institution. It wasn't real fearful. There wasn't a lot of volatility. I look for much lower prices, but maybe not by the end of the year, but certainly going into the first quarter and next year, I think we'll be down 20 or 25% next year.
Whoa! Well, there's a headline. You say the last line is the best line. All right. Liz, before we go on with this, I want you to tell us, if the Fed raises rates in December, is that necessarily a bad thing for the stock market?
No. They've recovered before. I mean, we've been through rate hiking cycles, but we may be in a sales recession. You know, the majority of the S&P 500 companies have reported down 3%, nearly 3% in sales.
Okay. Now, we're down 34 points on the Dow Industrials. Not much movement coming out of the stock market this morning, so I'm going to stay on politics for a second. And Hillary Rodham Clinton. She blames Republican policies for slow economic growth. Ashley, the truth or otherwise?
She says that the original sin was caused by the Republicans who created the Great Recession. And then they still hang on, she says, to the fact that trickle-down economics works for the country. She said, if they hang on to that, we are going to win the 2016 presidential campaign.
I've said this back in 2010. The Dems are about trickle-down government. By the way, government spending adds to GDP. So whenever the Democrats are in office, they do a lot of spending, and that makes GDP look better because government spending adds to GDP.
Yes. Hillary, you look flustered.
Who committed this sin? Let's start with Barney Frank, for example. Okay, I mean, we can do a lot of blaming on the left here, and they really are very responsible for this. And if Hillary Clinton ends up in the White House, she's going to bring up the tax rate, our personal tax rate, to 50%. Anyone else on the right, all those Republican candidates, we're going to be down between 15% to 25%, and our economy is just going to start rocking and rolling.
Todd Horowitz, this is right up your street. Who's to blame? Hillary says it's the Republicans who are to blame for 7 years of slow growth. Go.
I think it's really who's in office now, but in the general rule of thumb, everybody's to blame because they're all full of it, and somebody's got to step up here and really make it correct, because we've gone away from what our founding fathers intended. It's not what's being distributed today. We've got too many special interests, too many guys who can donate to both parties looking for the edge. That's what's got to stop. We've got to quit with all the billions of dollars we're wasting on an election and go back to what real politics are about and really building the country instead of worrying about all this other crap that we put out all the time.
All right, you can tell.
All right, fair enough.
He means it. All right.
I do mean it. And, of course, you guys know that you've been with me long enough to know that I do mean it. And I'm sick of it. And I'm sick of the crap. And I'm sick of what's going on. And I'm tired of all the BS. And even listening to the raving bulls of the world who don't own anything. But they're willing to tell you to buy stuff. But what do they own? They don't own anything. Isn't it time that we really just did the right thing? Isn't it time to really go back and rebuild America the correct way? I mean, you know, there's a certain point in time that you have to forget about all the BS rhetoric that does go on and really focus in on how are we going to fix it? Now, certainly we know that what we're doing now is not fixing anything. What we're doing now is a bunch of garbage, because all we have now is ways to spend more money while creating more entitlements, while spitting basically in the middle class's face as the government pisses away our money to either the wealthy or to the entitlement programs that are out there. Now, we can have growth. There is not a problem. It is an easy solution. The problem is that the guys that are in charge of it and the gals, they don't care. They care about what goes into their pocket. They care about the next election. That is why our political system is breaking down. Because if you go back to the original, the three branches of government to keep checks and balances, well, it doesn't work very well anymore, because if you look at, everybody's got politics, okay? If you look at the Supreme Court, it almost always goes 5-4. So depending on who drops dead or who quits, well, who's in office, that's the politics of the person that gets in there. That is not what the intention was of keeping the checks and balances. That was not what was designed. What was designed is that everybody kept everybody else in check and we worked together to come to a common solution. That is not what we have right now. We have a solution of nothing. We have a solution to see who can spend more money. And I'm not going to sit here and blame Obama. I don't like him, but I'm not going to blame him for all of the troubles. You know, these are not new troubles. I mean, you know, the trouble just doesn't show up one day and say we're in trouble. Just like the stock market, you know, the bubble that is being built here or blown up, you know, it's going to collapse. Everybody's like, oh, it's one day. It's building now. It's sending warning signs to you saying, hey, I'm in a bubble. Ha ha. What are you going to do about it? It's no different than the housing bubble. It's no different than the internet bubble. It's no different than any other bubble in history. When greed starts to take over, which is what we have here, eventually the bubble has to burst. Now, we've got all these idiotic politicians out there now, okay, blabbing. But what did they tell you? What has anybody actually said that meant anything? But a bunch of crap, a bunch of bullshit. When's the last time you heard somebody say, I'm going to make this country better by doing this? And this should be, is to have this country have to live on a budget like every human being in this country. Okay. You know what? Maybe we should cut down the salaries. How many people have you got? How many of your salaries got cut through this whole mess? Okay. You know what? You want to serve? You make a little bit less. Maybe we should cut down their pensions. Nobody's talking about the underfunded pensions that we're responsible for debt-wise. So, again, are you going to tell me that our system is not broken? And, again, I don't care what side of the aisle you sit on. Yes, I sit to the right, sometimes farther to the right. But it doesn't mean I can't respect the opinions and believe that somebody to the left has a good idea. What I know for sure is when I look and watch, I see manipulation. Because at the end of the day, the people that win the office, the people that run for office, are wealthy to begin with. So you look at them and they don't care. Do you think they really care about you? Okay, they want the power because they got the egos the size of the whole country itself. I don't have a problem with that either. The problem I have is our system was meant to for we the people for the people. And what we got now is we for the rich and the entitled and screw the middle class. That's what we have. Like it or not, that is where we are today. Now, hopefully, that will change. We need to change it. It's important that we get a change because the truth of the matter is our country is riding on it. Okay? We are no different than Greece with how much money we spend compared to how much we take in. We have no growth. We are no longer building anything. So that needs to change. There are so many changes, and it is so simple that a fifth grader could figure it out. But again, we're not talking about fifth graders. We're talking about imbeciles that want to fight over money and see who can glom the most. That's really what you're talking about. Because as you know, life comes down to two things, and one of them is money. And money is the power that they get. And that's what these guys are doing to all of us because they don't care because it doesn't affect them. The decisions they make do not have a direct effect on them. Think about that for a while. As we get ready to step out here for break, catch the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm on demand anytime you want it. It's there for you. Okay. Check out thebubbashow.org because, again, you're going to find some great products, some great things you can have. And again, the Badger and myself, we're here to help you defend your portfolio. We want to make it better for you, not like the politicians. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
Don Costa.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And boy, we've got a jam-packed action today. And I'm going to close out today with our friend, Mr. Bill Whittle, as he is with Ted Cruz. So let's go take a listen and see what they're talking about. Let's go to Bill Whittle and Ted Cruz.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. Well, just before the election back in 2004, Newsweek's assistant managing editor Evan Thomas made an appearance on PBS's Inside Washington, where for some reason, known only to God and his bartender, apparently he said openly what everyone in the news business knew to be true. Let's talk a little media bias here, said Thomas. The media, I think, wants Kerry to win, and I think they're going to portray Kerry and Edwards. I'm talking about the establishment media, not Fox, but they're going to portray Kerry and Edwards as being young and dynamic and optimistic and all, and there's going to be this glow about them that's going to be worth, collectively, the two of them, that's going to be worth maybe 15 points. Now, John Kerry was not exactly the kind of man who would make a thrill run up your leg. Kerry was John the Baptist to Barack Obama's entrance as the liberal Christ. But just assume for a second that the slathering that the mainstream media did over the light worker was worth the same 15 points as the far less overt swing that they gave to John Kerry. You know, I did the math several years ago, and if you swing 15 points of media bias, which, if you'll pardon the expression, is a pretty conservative view of what media insider Evan Thomas thought they'd given John Kerry, then as I recall, Barack Obama carries Delaware, the District of Columbia, and that's it. Without the 15 points of media bias given even John Kerry, it's President McCain with an electoral count of 532-6. Now, 15 points of bias is clearly obsolete. It's much higher than that today. And it's not just the negative coverage they give to Republicans. Negative coverage is the press's actual job. And it's not just the fawning coverage or downright cover they provide to Democrats when actual facts don't go their way, as actual facts are wont to do with Democrats. The real bias is in the silence. It's in the stories they cover inadequately, if at all. Now, that's systemic and pervasive bias, and while that'll usually do the trick, sometimes emergency measures are called for, such as that moment in the 2012 election when Candy Crowley imposed her not inconsiderable bulk between a down-and-out, on-the-ropes, confused and disoriented Barack Obama and the merciless hammering of Mitt Romney, calling the president out on his own records using his own words. Once Candy Crowley tagged Team Obama and stepped into the ring, Romney had two choices. Either say something like, "Miss Crowley, this election is between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney. You're not on the ticket, so you either sit down and shut up while he's answering, or I am walking off of the stage right now." Now, he could have either done that or simply taken it and gone on to lose the election. But no. We walk into debates hosted by unbiased newsmen like ABC reporter George Stephanopoulos, who ran Bill Clinton's campaign in 1992. And we expect that by showing how swell we are, they're going to play fair in return. How's it working out so far? So, when Ted Cruz interrupted the appalling bias of the CNBC crew in the last debate and read back their questions to their faces and then compared them to the questions asked of the Democratic candidates, it wasn't just an applause moment. It was a game changer. It was, okay, it could be, a real game changer only because it shows a willingness to realize the fact that up until now, we willingly and innocently, you can substitute blindly and stupidly if you're so inclined, walk right into these media kill zones with their landmines and their machine gun nests and their zeroed-in mortars and artillery, and we advance slowly and resolutely, one by one, into oblivion. No, by calling out the media, and especially by framing it not as you versus me, but as the entire media against the Republican field, all of us, Ted Cruz has not only put a marker down, he's launched a flare up into the sky. He has, in fact, and for the first time in my memory, started to prepare the rhetorical battle space for our side. In other words, by calling out the media for their bias, he's alerted the American people to the problem using their own words as weaponry, and now one of three things will happen, and they're all good news for the good guys. One. The media bias will continue, and Ted Cruz and hopefully all the others will come to each other's defense against this common adversary. Every time we call them out, the case gets stronger, and the American people become more aware of it, and the American people are fundamentally fair. Two, even better, the media, terrified of letting the 15-point or 20-point or 30-point electoral bias cat out of the bag, will back off of the gotcha questions for Republicans and the what's your favorite color question for the Democrats, and the net effect will be the bias will be reduced. Or three, and better still, we will finally wake up to the ongoing massacres that we endure in the name of fairness and have the Republican debates hosted by conservatives. Conservatives that ask questions of substance, but in a way that tees up the ball for our team and not tee it up for theirs. What does that sound like? Well, it sounds like this. Senator Rubio, President Obama has doubled the national debt in the last 7 years. What do you plan to do to get this looming economic catastrophe under control? See how easy it is? Now, look, as far as I'm concerned, the primary debates are inside baseball. They're for relatively high information voters who have a solid interest in their party's candidates and positions. But The four final debates, the three presidential and single vice presidential forums, well, they're critical because they're the only times during the entire year that the American people get to see and hear the candidates without the media telling them what they said or meant to say or didn't say or should have said. Those critical events need to have moderators selected the same way that the defense and prosecution teams select a jury panel, by being able to veto what they perceive to be a prejudicial influence before the trial starts. Or we can finally wake up to the fact that these so-called moderators from CNBC and CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, all the rest, are simply partisan hacks for the Democratic Party defending that 20-point Republican headwind. And so we can agree that people like George Stephanopoulos and Candy Crowley and Charlie Rose can host one debate, so long as Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin get to host the next one, and so on. What Ted Cruz did the night of the CNBC debate has changed the game, but only if he and the rest of the candidates up there taking this abuse preparatory to losing again are smart enough and united enough to simply threaten to walk off stage en masse the next time it happens. If they do that, then we may yet save this country from these elitist, fatuous, dim, narcissistic typist and teleprompter readers that formerly made up the honorable profession of news reporter.
And ain't that the truth? Except here on the Bubba Show, we got no teleprompter. We don't even know how to spell teleprompter. But you gotta love the opinion and what Bill stands for. Again, you don't have to agree with everything he says, and of course, if you would agree with everything everybody says, I would not think very highly anyway. So, but at the end of the day, okay, at the end of the day, it's about doing the right thing, and that's where a lot more of the problems come in. And that was the problem with that CNBC debate, was the BS, which has become more of the norm than the exception. And at the end of it, we cannot have this anymore. We have serious problems in this country that need serious solutions. We have to really take it apart and bring ourselves back into what this country is meant to be. Because it is by far the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. We have the greatest of everything here, but we can be better. And isn't it better to be better? And that's what I want. Not for me. I'm too damn old. It's not going to affect me anymore. But for my kids, your kids, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, because long after I'm gone, I want everybody to have a great life and for everybody to enjoy and not have to go through the nastiness that we've had to go through over the last, 15 or so years, because it's been a challenge. And we could be so much better. And that's what I want for everybody. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out thebubbashow.org. Again, we're on your team. We want to help you. We want things to be better. We want you to have the best of it. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.